Christ gave us proof of immortality, and yet it would hardly seem necessary that one should rise from the dead to convince us that the grave is not the end. To every created thing, God has given a tongue that proclaims a resurrection. If the Father deigns to touch with divine power the cold and pulseless heart of the buried acorn, and to make it to burst forth from its prison walls, will he leave neglected in the earth the soul of man made in the image of his Creator? If he stoops to give to the rose bush, whose withered blossoms float upon the autumn breeze, the sweet assurance of another springtime, will he refuse the words of hope to the sons of men when the frosts of winter come? If matter mute and inanimate, though changed by the forces of nature into a multitude of forms, can never die, will the spirit of man suffer annihilation when it has paid a brief visit, like a royal guest, to this tenement of clay? No, I am as sure that there is another life as I am that I live today. In Cairo, I secured a few grains of wheat that had slumbered for more than 3,000 years in an Egyptian tomb. As I looked at them, this thought came into my mind. If one of those grains had been planted upon the banks of the Nile the year after it grew, and all its lineal descendants planted and replanted from that time until now, its progeny would today be sufficiently numerous to feed the teeming millions of the world. There is in the grain of wheat an invisible something which has power to discard the body that we see and from earth and air fashion a new body so much like the old one that we cannot tell the one from the other. And if this invisible germ of life in the grain of wheat can thus pass unimpaired through 3,000 resurrections, I shall not doubt that my soul has power to clothe itself with a new body suited to its new existence when this earthly frame has crumbled into dust.
Hello, hello, this is DJ Frederick, and you are tuned to the Radio Thrift Shop. Radio Thrift Shop features an ever-changing playlist of folk, jazz, easy listening, indie rock, indie pop, privately released and homemade music from the early 1900s to the present. At the Thrift Shop, we play 78s, 45s, 33s, compact discs and cassette tapes, in many, many genres. Well, if you didn't recognize the speaker at the opening of the program, that was William Jennings Bryan, Democratic candidate for President of the United States in 1896, I believe in 1900 and 1908. An amazing human being with a lot of insight that still resonates today. So on this edition of the Thrift Shop, we're going to hear songs with numbers in the title, or songs about numbers. Not sure how that relates to William Jennings Bryan, but it will somehow. It's Numbers Songs this week on the Radio Thrift Shop.
Three is a magic number. Yes, it is. It's a magic number. Somewhere in the ancient mystic trinity, you get three as a magic number. The past and the present and the future, faith and hope and charity, the heart and the brain and the body give you three as a magic number. It takes three legs to make a tripod or to make a table stand. It takes three wheels to make a vehicle called a tricycle. Every triangle has three corners. Every triangle has three sides. No more, no less. You don't have to guess. When it's three, you can see it's a magic number.
A man and a woman had a little baby. Yes, they did. They had three in the family. That's a magic number.
3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24, 27, 30.
3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24, 27, 30.
Now the multiples of three come up three times in each set of 10. In the first 10, you get 3, 6, 9, and in the teens 10, it's 12, 15, and 18. And in the 20s, you get a 21, 24, 27, and it comes out even on 30. Yeah.
Now multiply backwards from 3 times 10.
3 times 10 is 30. 3 times 9 is 27. 3 times 8 is 24. 3 times 7 is 21. 3 times 6 is 18. 3 times 5 is 15. 3 times 4 is 12. And 3 times 3 is 9. 3 times 2 is 6. And 3 times 1 is 3, of course.
Take the pattern once more. 3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24, 27, 30. Yeah.
30.
Now multiply from 10 backwards.
3 times 10 is 30, 3 times 9 is 27,
3 times 8 is 24,
3 times 7 is 21,
3 times 6 is 18,
3 times 5 is 15, 3 times 4 is 12, and 3 times 3 is 9, and 3 times 2 is 6. 3 times 1. What is it?
3!
Yeah,
that's a magic number.
A man and a woman had a little baby.
Yes, they did.
They had three in the family. That's a magic number.
Started a long time ago. Me and y'all.
the back row behind the stage. She had the best figure by far. Oh, a thousand hours I've looked at her eyes, but I still don't know what color they are. Oh, yeah, me and your mom. She was in T-79. She was a junkie then. I was having a good time. Back on the road again.
Nirvana sitar and string group there with 9 o'clock. Before that, we heard Cat Stevens and Son C79 from the Buddha and the Chocolate Box LP. We started off with a classic tune that I absolutely love, Mr. Bob Doro with 3 is a Magic Number. This is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop, and today I'm playing music with numbers in the title of songs. I'll be right back after this.
So we're in Redwood National Park, about to climb the tallest tree on Earth to remeasure its total height.
What's life like at the top of the world's tallest trees? Well, ask Steve Sillett, an ecologist at Humboldt State University in Northern California. He's tracking the growth of giant redwoods, along with grad student Anthony Ambrose.
Okay, Anthony, go ahead and untie the anchor.
So we are at the top of the tallest known living tree, and it appears to have not grown at all in height since last year this time. The total height is still 115.55, but down at 112 meters, it grew about 0.1 centimeters, or 1 millimeter in diameter. So the thing's just eking along here. It's not doing much, which isn't, I guess, too surprising. I expected a few centimeters of growth, but none is evident.
It appears to be reaching the limits of its potential height.
I think it might be. The other thing I'm noticing up here is more of that woodpecker damage. At about 114.3 meters, there's some peck marks on the trunk, and there's fresh pitch oozing out of the wounds, so that can't be helping. But it's nice to see that the top is still alive. It's just so improbable to me that this tree even exists. The landscape has been logged pretty extensively, and there's clear-cut edges came within a couple hundred feet of the tree. Why this particular tree is so darn tall, I just still can't get over it. There's no way we could have predicted it. And yet,
here it is.
Here it is, and it's got a live top, despite the woodpeckers.
We'll hear more about Steve Sillett's research on redwoods in future programs. Please visit pulseplanet.com. Pulse of the Planet Science Diaries are made possible by the National Science Foundation. I'm Jim Metzner.
When I wake up, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who wakes up next to you. When I go out, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. If I get drunk, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who gets drunk next to you. And if I haver, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who's havering to you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be the man who walked 1,000 miles to fall down at your door.
But I'm working, yes, I know I'm gonna be the man who's working hard for you. When the money comes in for the work I do, I'll pass almost every penny on to you. When I come home, I'm gonna be the man who comes back home to you. And if I go, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who's going over you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more just to be a man who walks 1,000 miles to fall down at your door.
I'm gonna be the man who's lonely without you. And when I'm dreaming, well, I know I'm gonna dream about the time when I'm with you. When I go out, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. And when I come home, yes, I know I'm gonna be the man who comes back home with you. I'm gonna be the man who's coming home. But I would walk 500 miles.
Chicago with 25 or 624. Before that, we heard the Grassroots with I'd Wait a Million Years. We started off with the Proclaimers and I'm Gonna Be 500 Miles. This is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop, and today I'm playing music with numbers in the title of songs. Now, we recently went past the Halloween season, and if you are at all a shortwave radio listener, or even curious about shortwave radio, Halloween is the time to hear pirate radio broadcasts. That's unlicensed, unannounced, unscheduled, and often unusual pirate radio broadcasts on the high frequency bands. We're going to just take a look at what was broadcast on shortwave this Halloween season. WREC, Radio Free East Coast, was broadcasting on 6955 kHz in the upper sideband, with PJ Sparks and a classic Halloween show with tunes by Iron Maiden and others. And on 6150 kHz, Radio Illuminati was broadcasting on Halloween with music by Blue Oyster Cult and Oingo Boingo and the Edgar Winter Group. Wolverine Radio was heard on 6955 upper sideband with tunes about witches, ghosts, and vampires. And XFM was broadcasting on AM on 6975 kHz. XFM was heard from Florida to California with a great signal, a DJ playing requests and taking phone calls off the air, and looking for postings on hfunderground.com. So I do hope that you will explore the world of shortwave. There are still amazing things to be heard on the high frequencies.
You're listening to radio news about radio waves. Headlines from the ether. Headlines.
This is Timer with the radio news about radio waves. Matthew Lazar reports in Radio Survivor that British broadcast regulator Ofcom has closed 400 pirate radio stations lately, mostly in two London boroughs, and says it could save British taxpayers up to £1 million by cracking down on that city's remaining pirate radio stations. How? Quote, pirate stations typically use high-rise buildings for their broadcasts, with illegal transmitters installed on rooftops or hidden in lift shafts, unquote, Ofcom says. This is sort of correct. Pirates, like other FM broadcasters, put their antenna high up for a broader reach. Quote, this damages residential properties owned by local authorities, disrupting residents' lives and putting people at risk from falling equipment, unquote, the agency claims. Actually, hanging a pirate radio antenna would not do any more damage than putting a television antenna on a roof would, and would be just as likely to fall. Ofcom quotes a group called Homes for Haringey, saying that pirate operations had delayed key construction projects. One of their board documents blames construction delays on, among other things, quote, pirate radio aerials that have affected the progress of the completion of external works on some schemes, unquote. Ofcom makes no effort to itemize the £1 million savings figure that shutting down more pirate radio stations would achieve, and it is difficult to imagine how an antenna could delay a construction project. Ofcom also says pirate radio disrupts emergency services without giving any examples. In this latest press offensive, Ofcom throws everything at the pirate radio menace except that old myth that regulators constantly sing about pirate radio bringing down airplanes.
We'll be right back.
She's a mollusk, a seamstress, a princess, a priestess, a negress. She knows her position. She's a swallow, a willow, a cello, a pillow, a bow, and also a physician. She takes your eyes and bends your head. She pours the wine and breaks the bread. She has no lies to tell you and no truths to sell you. She's a girl, she's almost a woman. And Sarah, she flies, that's the morning size. Spreads her wings like a seagull. From the mountain, he watches her, biding his time, but his eyes are the eyes of an eagle. He's a hawthorn, a raven, a scarecrow, a haven for moon-blessed thought and opinion. He will laugh like the fountains, the bones of the mountains lie deep in his forest religion. You will call his name when evening falls, and the ground sets hard, and the night wind calls. You will feed him and heed him, at times you will need him. Say you are almost his woman. And Sarah, she flies, that's the morning size. Spreads her wings like a seagull. From a mountain, he watches her, biding his time, but his eyes are the eyes of an eagle. In the shuddering mud red, bloodlet sunset, a tired man is leaving his cover. And the soft eyes of Zero are cut by the sounds of the vanishing feet of a lover. And the door slams shut, and the air grows tight, and her throat is gripped by the hands of night. And all that is left is the clock on the shelf, as it ticks one day into another. And Sarah, she sighs as the morning dies, with the broken wings of a seagull. From a mountain, he watches her, sensing his time, but his eyes are the eyes of an eagle. At the fall of the day, the man of the mountain is nearing the end of his travel. And the fence is down on the westland bounds, and a footfall pounds in the gravel. Comes a knock three times, and the air grows still as he steps inside from the sudden chill. And the moment is caught in the net of the night, for the coming of dawn to unravel. And Sarah, she flies as the morning sighs, spreads her wings like a seagull. From the mountain he's coming, judging his time, and his eyes are the eyes of an eagle. On zero she flies as the morning dies, spreads her wings like a seagull. From her window he watches her, a man in his time, but his eyes are the eyes of an eagle. Thank you.
many teardrops for one heart to be crying, yeah. Too many teardrops for one heart to carry on. You wave on top now, baby, since you left me.
Take him.
The Aquarian Age with 10,000 words in a cardboard box. Before that, Big Maybell with 96 tears, R.E.M. Oddfellows Local 151, Al Stewart, Zero She Flies, and we started off with Paul McCartney and Wings, 1985.
Exploring science in the sea. The oceans are getting louder. Fish and mammals grunt, click, and chirp to attract mates, threaten rivals, or just say howdy. At times, though, they can be overpowered by the sounds created by humans. It's enough to drive a fish to distraction. To understand just how distracting human-made noise can be, scientists first must understand how marine organisms deal with the natural soundscape, the sounds produced by the creatures themselves. A recent study, for example, found that fish seem to talk over each other during the daytime, but share the soundscape at night. Researchers placed microphones in an underwater cave on the coast of South Africa and recorded for several months. When they analyzed the recordings, they isolated sounds made by different species. They found that during the daytime, different species of fish produced sounds at overlapping frequencies, like several people talking at once. But the species that were busiest at night communicated at different frequencies. The researchers suggest that during the day, fish can add visual cues to their communication. Some fish nod up and down when they're courting, for example. That means they don't need to rely so heavily on sound. At night, though, visual cues don't work. So nocturnal species talk at different frequencies. Some species produce a high pitch, some a low pitch, and some are in the middle. That makes it easier to get their message across in the noisy ocean depths. Science in the Sea is a production of the University of Texas Marine Science Institute and is on the web at scienceandthesea.org. I'm Holly Brawley.
Well, this is DJ Frederick, and you're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London and online at classicalwscs.org. If you love radio, please come join us at the Radio Thrift Shop, where the music and our spirits are free. I want to say thank you for listening, and wherever you are on the planet, take good care of yourself, take good care of your community, and take good care of those you love. Oh yeah, and take good care of our Mother Earth.